Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Time to talk pro stock. Oh, yes, all you pro stock fans in the Mellow Yellow Series, there is a very close and tight championship battle. What's interesting is you got a couple of flagship cars, KB Racing, Jason Line, Elite Motorsports, Erica, and then you've got some satellites with Bo Butner, who is a KB client, and then fourth, you have Matt Hartford, who is an Elite Engine Supply client. So that is showing us what we got going. We got Eddie Granaccia just seconds away. Eddie is the crew chief for Matt Hartford. Eddie has been around the sport of drag racing for a long time, and we are going to have a great conversation about what it takes to win, about where they are in the point standings, and how they're handling this circumstance, being involved in a championship chase and having a great start and a shot to bring home it all. So if you're a fan of Pro Stock, you're going to want to share this one. Let's get the word out, because Pro Stock is for the diehards, right? We know this. Pro Stock for the fans. Nitro is amazing, and it's great, and it's thrilling, and it's exciting. But when you're a hardcore drag racer, you end up loving Pro Stock. And it's all brought to you by Total Seal Piston Rings. TotalSeal.com, the leader in ring seal technology, whatever the size piston you're using. We're talking about Stock Eliminator to Pro Stock to IndyCar. We're talking about Supercross. We're talking about go-karts. Whatever the pistons, they make the rings. And over-the-road cars as well. What they learn in the high-performance stuff, they apply to the road cars. TotalSeal.com. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Oh, yes. If you want to go to work for someone like Total Seal, you'll probably need to have an education from someone like Samtech.edu. Samtech. Blockhead CNC programs, motorsport, EFI tuning, an Associate of Applied Science degree. And if you see Samtech on the side of a car, it's not because they sponsor it. It's because they are the curriculum. And you can go out there and learn to become a CNC machinist. And I think about those two things together, right? Like piston rings and being a machinist, they are very connected. MagicDryUS.com, the official organic absorbent of the National Hot Rod Association. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure. You can drive a dragster. Simple as that. Courses start at $399. It's more of an experience than it is a course, necessarily. You make one half-track, two full-track passes. You're doing burnouts. You're staging the car. You're driving down the track. They can even set up a race. You go 130 miles per hour all by yourself out there in a dragster. And they travel around the country. That's what makes it cool. Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. Hot sauces and spice rubs. Everything good. Roasted fresh per your order. We're not talking about coffee from the store that's vacuum packed. We're talking about Ragged Edge Gourmet from farms that only produce a bag or two of coffee beans a year. Very limited stuff. Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. Love Marvin Rodak, and he does these blends that are drag racing themed. You definitely need to get a little Rodak coffee and have the experience. Drag Racing Edge Magazine, EV3 Drag Racing, doing a great job for us as well. Cross-promoting. All right, Pro Stock fans, let's go. Joining us now, he is the crew chief for the Total Seal Chevrolet Camaro in Pro Stock. He's been doing it a long time and has had great success over the years, but we have not yet had him on WFO, which is a big mistake by me. Eddie Granaccia. Eddie, welcome to WFO. How are you?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me. It's good to hear from you. And other than we have nicer weather than you today, let's talk about some racing.
Yes, so true, so true. Here in not-so-sunny South Florida, it's been raining all day long, but it gives me a lot of time to catch up with all my WFO interviews and put some deep thought, Eddie, into who I want on the show, and this week I wanted to have you on. You guys find yourself right in the middle of a championship fight in Pro Stock. That is pretty cool.
It really is. I mean, it's been an unbelievable case to where we are now. You know, like every team thinks that, they have rounds that they could have won, and just as we do, and rounds that we shouldn't have won. So to get here and be in the finals that we have, obviously we'd like to close more than we did, but just the opportunity to get there, you keep on rolling up there, and something good's going to happen sooner or later.
Looking at the point standings, you are 57 out of the lead. Jason, Erica, Bo right in front of you. And, you know, if I told you at the start of the season this is where you'd be, I would imagine you'd be pretty happy with that.
Oh, I'd be ecstatic. And you're talking about, you know, the top cars in the class. I mean, you know, obviously Erica and Jason, in my opinion, probably Erica, then Jason, have had the best two cars in the class. And she does a phenomenal job driving that car and is able to rise to the occasion. I thought we did all we could do last race. And, you know, you come back and you look at the screen and you say, could have we done more to close that gap on that 18 that we lost with? Or you know, we're 11 in Reading to Jason we lose by. We're 88 in against her. I mean, you come back and look at the screen looks pretty good. But there's not a team out there that says we couldn't have done something better, and we feel the same way.
Well, you made the final round, and sometimes, you know, someone's going to lose, right? And I say it all the time, like, you could both have terrible runs and someone's going to win, and you could both have great runs and someone's going to lose. I think cosmically, it was just Erica's time to win a race.
That was. I mean, she's well overdue. She's had a really terrific car. That car's come to life, and their package in there is terrific. She's going to be tough to beat. And so is Jason. I mean, you look at the cars, how close they are and the parity in the sport and the power. And most of the guys have, you know, understandings of everything out there and good enough that you could take the top 10 cars and any one of those cars, any particular session can qualify on the pole. So that's been, you know, you mentioned I've been doing it for a long time. You know, I started Pro Stock racing back in 1990, and I've never seen anything over the last couple of years that's taken place in Pro Stock that gives you the opportunity to put a car in the winner's circle that is not your own engine-based program.
Well, let's have that conversation, Eddie, because you know, Alan Reinhart and I earlier this week, we were just talking about that it's different now. But it's not worse. There's people who long for the day, and I use the reference of, you know, Bob Glidden and the boys, Billy and Rusty, and they're in there and they're working on manifolds and it's top secret stuff, and there's manufacturer involvement. They're getting their parts from manufacturers and they're all different. There's Dodges and there's Ford and there's Chevrolets, and it's not that anymore. It's not that. You were there for some of that, and it was different. What we have now are it's a more people have more opportunity to get in and create a team of guys that have knowledge and go out and compete with the parts that are available. You've done both. Is there one that's better? Is this better? How's it different? Give me your perspective.
Well, it's definitely much different. I mean, you talk about talented people like, you know, Bob and the Glidinger. You talk about Warren, and you talk about, you know, Bill Jenkins, and those guys all had way more knowledge on engine stuff than most people. So when you put that package together and they control their own destiny with their program, you're not going to get an engine that's near close to what they got. I don't care what they tell you. I've seen it up and down. We've certainly run probably more engines than anybody from all different engine builders. This time in racing, between KB and the Elite program, and obviously McGay has got some rentals out there, but the parity in power has never been like this. Now, some of it's because of the limitation on engine speed and, you know, the EFI, and that's definitely put a balance and a limit on the runaway stuff that was happening, and, you know, the dollars and cents that you had to keep on funding to try and, you know, turn the engines higher to make more power. And that's really where it was going. It was becoming an out of reach. And then the life cycle of an engine, obviously, it, you know, at those speeds, when it comes down off of, you know, an 11,000 RPM or 11.5, some of these cars were turning out there. You know, when you come down to 10.5, it makes the stuff live a lot longer, which guys like, you know, Richard and obviously the Anderson group and KB and that whole package lets guys that never would have a chance to get really good power in their cars to compete in this class.
So, and this isn't the reason I wanted to have you on, but it's so easy to attack when something goes wrong or a bad decision is made. I remember when the 10-5 rule first came in, and a lot of people were very annoyed, didn't like it, thought it was a bad thing, along with a whole host of other things that they've asked you guys to do, like back the cars in and everything. If we go back to that time and we think about those decisions, when Pro Stock seemed like it was maybe on life support, right? People were talking about it going away and what are we going to do? And maybe it's just over and the class has evolved beyond its usefulness. They made a bunch of decisions. From what you're telling me and just looking at the participation, it looks like those decisions worked out.
Without question. I mean, those decisions, you know, kept the separation of the big teams or money. It's always about money in any kind of auto racing. It takes over, you know. So when you put the people around that you can pay and you put the parts and you can put development programs and you could run more parts across something, those teams are going to separate. They already have good people. Now they have better parts. So now you just can't compete with that. And as far as turning the cars around, that was good for the spectators. Some of the stuff that took place, whether it been the wheelie bars or something, that really didn't make any change. That was kind of like a wasted effort. But you're 100% right. It looks like Pro Stock has taken the biggest punch in the mouth throughout the time, whether it be having to adhere to these changes, which did cost a lot of money going to EFIs. Now, you could argue that EFI should have been here a long time ago. So that change, you know, evolved in a short period of time. And a lot of classes, you know, couldn't stood for a lot of the cost that went into, you know, making those changes. But I think, you know, just like the stuff we do and you know, the vouchering stuff with you and the clutch stuff and all, it gives people a different perspective, which I think is good for the class. There's stuff that people don't want to see, but it's a total package of that makes you competitive in this deal. And then you got to have a driver that's doing a great job behind the wheel, which our guy is doing a terrific job. Matt has really rose to the occasion, and I look forward to, you know, these last four events.
Yes, it's going to be exciting, and I'm excited about it. And I want other people to be excited about it and realize what's going on. Sometimes people get trapped in their own thought process, and then things change around them, and they don't notice. We have got a wildly exciting Pro Stock Championship battle out there. And, you know, I think about the guy who's a Ford fan. He cheered for Glidden. And I keep mentioning him because he's the one we're missing, right? Maybe he doesn't have a dog in this particular fight right now. Mm-hmm. But maybe sometime in the future he will. If he's expecting a Ford engine, then maybe he won't. But there's still a lot of great stuff. All right, Eddie, let me ask you how you got started, though. Like, how did you get here? You said 1990. what was the genesis that all of a sudden now you're delving into Pro Stock? Give me some of the early days, Eddie Granacci, involved with cars. You're from the Philly area. I know you're friends with Captain Chaos. So how did that all happen?
Yeah, me and McKenny are lifelong friends, and obviously racing is a part of something I've always done. My father was a builder. I'm a builder by trade. And, you know, we used to talk about, you know, headers. He'd be talking about headers over top of a doorway. I'm talking about pipes coming out of the exhaust. You know, he never really liked cars. He didn't think we could, you know, be productive in it. And he was really kind of a nuts and bolts guy, you know. So where, you know, you went to work, you know, and you made a living and you supported your family. And as far as racing goes, that, you know, was not too many times during the day. I don't care if it was high school, right on through when I got my professional license, that I didn't love cars or had more than one car and was always working on something. Kenny Koretsky, like I said, is a lifelong friend of mine, and we started way back in the 90s when he wanted to go Pro Stock racing. He did it before I came on board, but I had taken over the Sunoco car, which was a Beretta, and started in probably 1991-ish. I got my license then, and we raced, you know, some Gainesville stuff where there was 40 cars at a race. And, you know, I still remember renting motors from Frank Iaconio. and, you know, struggled. We didn't qualify. We were 17th, 18th or something like that of the race, but there was plenty of good guys behind this that you would say today are icons. And when I look at those qualifying sheets, you know, nothing to be ashamed of. So fast forward that, we ran a little bit of that. I never qualified in a pro stock car at any of those events. So we ran some local pro mod racing. It was called Northeast Pro Shootout Association, which we took a 500-inch pro stock engine and converted it. And you could have pretty good parity where they had blowers and nitrous cars and turbo cars, and you had to be a certain weight. And you raced in, you know, a 5 or 6 hour radius, different racetracks. And, you know, I happened to win that association back in 98 or something like that with a 500-inch motor. And a lot of the other guys at the time, a 632 was the big inch motor at the time. Nothing like it is today. It's really came way overboard, and that stuff is amazing what's transpired in pro mod. But, you know, and then Kenny called me and says, man, I want to go pro stock racing back in 99. And, you know, we started there, and we put a couple cars together, and Ricky came on board, and he was a big help to me in understanding a lot of the baseline stuff that, you know, we still take today and take that knowledge. Ricky's as good a racer as I've ever seen, and understands, you know, more than many people out there. So, you know, you get in there, and then we rented engines.
And what was that like, though, the working with Ricky, like the personalities?
Ricky, you know, I'm kind of a closed mouth guy, and I like to listen and try and learn. We roomed together for a year and a half, and, you know, I took that as a school. You know, what I learned with him in a year and a half, you can learn 10 years of being out here, and nobody's going to tell you anything or show you the right way to do something, or give you maybe an avenue that might go against them someday. But Ricky taught me a lot, and I was you know, took it as like a school, you know. So that was something that moved us on into, you know, the Dodge days. And then Kenny ran the Dodge for a while. We rented motors from Larry, and actually Bob was there with Larry Morgan at the time building the engines, and we ran well. I mean, Kenny finished ninth in the class, and we often talk about, you know, having to rent motors back then, and not we still had good power, but you didn't have what you have today. I said, Kenny, if you were out there today, you know, I had him in two finals. We qualified him number one. He was in the finals at the 50th anniversary at Indy, and we got run down by Anderson. And we had him in the finals at Bristol, you know, from the 16th spot. We're in the finals against Jeg. Jegs runs us down. You know, it's just that little bit, you know, I feel like, you know, one thing missing in our, you know, pro stock deal is, you know, the fact that he's never won a race, and, you know, certainly has helped us along the way and supported us, and, you know, feel like that, you know, that part's missing. And I think, you know, he's a good enough driver that today, if we had parity like we do today, he'd win himself a race.
Wow. That first of all, Eddie, like this right there, everybody, is why I want Eddie on, because, you know, from Ricky Smith to Frank Iaconio to Bob Glidden and Larry Morgan building power, mm-hmm. Kenny Koretsky doing the driving, amazing stuff. And you've been here and through it for this whole arc. Okay, I know a lot of people are thinking, like, the captain can't make any more runs now. He's done, right? Kenny, I know you're out there, Kenny. What do you think, Eddie?
We still talk about it. You know, his son wants to do some racing, you know, and you know, we always talk about the weight. And, you know, I was always badgering him about, you know, getting down the weight, not only just for the being able to move the weight in the cars, but for his health, you know. And he always says to me, well, when I qualified number one in Las Vegas, he said, I was the fattest guy to ever qualify number one. And I said, listen, Kenny, all the stars lined up and we had a terrific weekend. I says, but, you know, it would be advantageous. So he's been doing good with his weight. He tells, me that if he lost another 10 pounds, he might have an interest in doing it. Whether that's just him talking or not, I don't know. You know, I'd love for him to win a race. I mean, it would be something to be really would finish his career, because he's helped so many people in racing. And, you know, I've worked with some of the best drivers in this class, from, you know, from Jaggy to Greg Stanfield. We didn't win a race, or I've never had a Wally Tour race with Greg Stanfield back in 2010.
It was a big one, by the way. That was a big one.
Yeah, it was a big one at Indy. It was a big race. Greg did a terrific job driving. We had a pretty good package. And, you know, again, you know, we finished number two, and that came down to money, too. We just, you know, ran out of money, you know, because I believe that Greg in his whole package is his the way he goes about racing. He's a true racer. And if he had the money, I think we could have closed out the deal. We just ran out of money. Mm. You know?
Interesting. Well, listen, that was a big win. I was there for that. Kenny Koretsky, by the way, just to tie it all to WFO, we were just launched. WFO is in its 10th year. And we go to the U.S. Nationals, and Greg Stanfield wins. Kenny Koretsky says, hey, I'm super happy. Why don't you guys come out to Maple Grove, and we do the WFO show on location from the Nitrofish trailer? And that is one of the big moments that helped propel us within the sport of drag racing, and here we are. So Kenny Koretsky was very helpful to us as well, and we continue on. So let's take that information and apply it back to now. Now, okay, so here you are again. And you've made some finals, and you got a Wally earlier this year, and you've contended for others, and you find yourself fourth in the points, and you're headed to Charlotte. So what, when everything is micro now, you got four races, and you got to get more points than some really tough racers that they've got you outgunned in some ways. How are you going to handle it?
Yeah, I think like anything else, I mean, I think, you know, I talked to Matt about this a lot, you know, it's just a chess game out there. You know, you have to decide some of the things you want to try and do, because there isn't a race that goes out there that I don't try and get better in some respect. And I'll take a session that, you know, that maybe isn't as good, and maybe try it then to try and get better for a session that might be as good. Sometimes the weather doesn't allow you to do that, because if the session's better on Friday, you know, you put your best package forward, but it may help you on Sunday. Now, with all the small points, you know, and we haven't had, you know, Erica gathered up a bunch there last race, and they all mean something. I mean, there's a few races that we gathered some points, but we haven't really got as many as we need, you know. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that, but there's so many little things that go into the thought process of getting to a race and deciding how you're going to approach that race based on lane, when you're out, what the weather is, tires, transmission stuff. Every team goes through it, and micromanaging to the point where, you know, you have to make the right decisions. And, you know, as race day goes on, as you come and see, as quickly as the turnaround is, if you're not thinking about that stuff, or at least looking and being able to see what happened to your car in that particular run, and thinking about it on the way back to the trailer and implementing some of them things, you're already too late. You know, you get back here, you got 30 some minutes to get back and turn your car around. Well, by the time you service the engine, service the clutch, move tires around, build a transmission, there is no time. Make a clutch call. Matt does some tuning, engine tuning. There's no spare time. And so if you're looking at it and trying to digest it while you're standing in front after the car's back, you're too late. You know, we don't have that kind of people. You know, we're fortunate to have the people that we do have, and they do a terrific job. And, you know, between KI, you know, Adam's, Matt's brother, Chief, who's usually around, KI, who obviously is a big part of us. You see him in the front of the car all the time. And, you know, they all do a great job and that don't have real racing backgrounds. These guys have learned along the way and work really well together, and they understand that there's no there can be no missteps.
Interesting. Wow. Listen, I appreciate that. You know, in terms of crew chiefing, is there a trait that is a must-have trait for someone who's going to be the person who makes the calls that sends these cars down the racetrack? You know, patience, you know, ability to analyze data. Is there like one that stands out above the rest?
Well, I think that any good crew chief, and there's probably some guys that haven't, but for me, I've had the luxury of working in these engine shops, whether it been Frank Iaconio, whether it be David Nicken's shop, whether it be, you know, any of the engine guys that when I have my own dyno in New Jersey. So I really like the engine part of it. So I got a chance to not only build and understand the engines, understand tuning part of it. I've driven a car for longest time, pro mod, pro stock, not a lot of competition in pro stock, more pro modified. But, you know, the truth of it is that makes you well-rounded enough to understand and can help, you know, a driver. Matt's certainly well-versed on all of that stuff. He's as well-rounded as a racer as you'll see out there, and a really smart guy, and gives us the chance to bounce stuff off each other. You know, where we're tuning stuff, not so much now because he's handling the tuning on it, but when we were in carburetors, I might have a different approach on a carburetor, and we would take a cylinder, and I'd work one way, he'd work the other way, and we try and, you know, gain some knowledge by doing that. You can't be closed-minded in any of this stuff, but when you surround yourself with some smart people, you know, some of that should rub off.
Very interesting. Okay, now you guys have been very cool letting me come in and, you know, lay hands on a NHRA pro stocker, right? I'm sure there's I'm jealous of myself. I can't believe I get to do it. We, you know, valve spring, clutch, transmission, rear end. I packed a parachute. That's the most recent one, everybody. You should be out there watching these Total Seal videos. But, you know, once upon a time, that was top secret. That would never happen in a million years. Why are you guys, verbalize a little bit why you guys want to show the world that even an announcer can do it?
Well, listen, Joe, we're glad to have you around. And obviously, relationships, you know, were built a long time ago. So as they continue to progress, we do it to try and bring the fans closer to it. So to be able to see something they would not ordinarily see in years and years. I mean, pro stock, like you said, real secretive, you know, everything's covered up and all that stuff that went on for years. And we think that it's just better for the sport, better for the fans, that they get a chance to see and touch and feel and look at and die. They can play those videos back. They can run them back and forth. They could stop them. They can look at certain things. That's all positive stuff. And we always talk about it being a package, and it is a package, you know. So as close as it is today, is there some things there, like I told you before, that they shouldn't see? Yeah, maybe. But, you know, things change. Things evolve. And, you know, then a combination changes. When you make one change in a combination that's real, then you better revisit many other things that could have an effect on that.
Yeah, but hey, those four-link settings, though, that was real secret stuff, right? we had
I wasn't in favor. You know, look, I wanted you to do the rear-end stuff, but I wanted to cover up, you know, that. I mean, there's some things there that maybe are a little different. Guys don't run their cars all the same. We all know that there's, you know, 16 good crew chiefs out there, or maybe more, and everybody's got a different idea. Maybe their approach is a little bit different, or maybe their shock combination with that four link works for them, and you know, that's what they run. But for us, you know, I felt like that we didn't need to put that out there.
I agree. I know. Listen, there's got to be some intrigue as well, right? Like, it's I thought that was the perfect combination of we'll show you some stuff, but there's stuff. I did, by the way, everybody, I didn't get to see it either. So there you go. Eddie, great job coming on WFO Radio. I really appreciate the insight into pro stock from the crew chiefing perspective. And learned a whole lot about you and your career arc as well, which leads me to understand how significant this moment is for you guys, right? You got a shot to win a championship, and you're right in the middle of it.
It's huge for us. And, you know, we don't want to, you know, walk on any eggshells here, but we got to be aggressive in our thinking, and everybody has to do a good job. And I believe we have as good an opportunity as anybody out there.
Very exciting. I wish you luck. Eddie, thank you for coming on WFO Radio Podcast. Good luck this weekend in Charlotte.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having us.
There he goes, the crew chief for the Total Seal Machine, Eddie Granaccia, out there, who is, you know, friends with Captain Chaos for many years, and also our great friend Carl Franklin, and just coming from that part of the country, right, the Philly area. And one of the really cool areas of the country. A lot of real smart people from there. Obviously, dense population. A lot of good stuff going on there. But passionate racing. He mentions Nicky Bonifanti, of course. Nicky and Rob. A lot of great people coming out of that part of the country. Great stuff. And I am excited to see the championship fight. Now, by no means are Jag and Greg Anderson out of it. But they need to move. They need to move. The guys who got the guys and gal got the hot start. Jason Lyon, Erica, Bo, Matt Hartford, and we shall see. I feel that was very, very educational, and we are going to do more. So you fans of Pro Stock, subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We've got a WFO Radio mobile application for iPhone and Android. Go to the website, WFOradio.com, and click on one of the shows, and all of a sudden you'll be presented with many little buttons, and you can choose. Maybe you want to listen on SoundCloud. Maybe you want to listen on Spotify. Maybe you want to listen on Stitcher. Maybe you don't want to listen at all, and then you would just exit out. See how I did that? And there you have it. What a week it has been. WFO Radio interviews, Justin Ashley, Clay Milliken. Great interview with Clay. Alan Reinhart, Eddie was fantastic. And now we are off to the races. The Ignition Show was fantastic, outstanding, stupendous, tremendous. You can tell I'm good with the superlatives, right? Like the adjectives that describe how great the show was. Listen, and you will like it or you won't like it. Now, one thing you may or may not like, it was the New York Yankees versus the Twins was kind of on in the background. So it was a little like, nerve-wracking for all the Yankee fans out there. But then it all worked out in the end. Oh, yes. Playoff baseball. So intense. So fun and exciting. All right, everybody, that's going to do it. Thanks to Eddie. Thanks to Justin. Thanks to Clay. Thanks to Alan. Another great week of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. If you're headed to Charlotte, I will see you there. Thank you.
WFO! The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing that top drag racing teams agree on is Hengstifers.com. Hengstifers metalworking lubricants are going to make you more efficient in the machine shop. It's going to save your tools, it's going to improve your surface quality, and it's going to make you quicker and more efficient. Go to Hengstifers.com to find out more information. Hengstifers metalworking lubricants since 1937.
Start your education at full speed with the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Accelerate your career as a high-performance engine builder with classroom instruction and practical hands-on experience in the lab, on the dyno, and at the track. In addition to the block, head, and CNC programs, SAM now offers motorsport EFI tuning and an Associates of Applied Science degree. And SAM is a military-friendly school, approved to train veterans and other eligible persons under the GI Bill. Start your education at full speed. Go to samtech.edu today.
Hey everybody, how do you start your day? You started off with a little coffee. And do you want something cheap and vacuum-packed with garbage? Do you want to pay for a retail coffee? It's like $11. Or do you want something that is good, like Rodax Coffee and Grills.com? Join the Rodax Army. WFO users and listeners know all about it. over 40 grades to choose from. This is roasted fresh per your order, not to mention hot sauce, spice rub. You got to call Marvin, get on the phone line, or go to the website, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Check it out. That's RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
This is Jeff Rice, a.k.a. Diepenhock. I just want to let you know that NHRA Nitro is probably the best coverage of NHRA drag racing, period. How can you not like a 3.5-hour broadcast with all the winners specifically for drag racing? WFO rules the airwaves.
This is WFO Radio.